The story of Moses' birth and his infancy is a beloved tale that we read about. And oh, it's so wonderful. It reminds us of the blessed beginning of one who would become one of the most dedicated servants of God, who would lead his people out of slavery. Throughout the Hebrew Bible, we are given dozens of accounts of such glorious beginnings, but we rarely are told the end of the great prophet's story. Moses is no exception. We are mesmerized by his wonderful beginning. But the end of Moses' story is mysterious. Yet, in the few verses in Deuteronomy chapter 34, notes Moses' final words in death, there is a strong sense of celebration of this great one so loved by God. You see, much of Deuteronomy is recapturing the promise of God to the Hebrews spoken by the aging prophet Moses. You see, Moses is retelling the story. In the chapters preceding Deuteronomy 34, Moses reaffirms the covenant between Israel and God. But this chapter takes a much different tone. No longer do we hear the rhetoric of Moses to the people, but instead find something like a eulogy to the great prophet Moses. Whether the words of a contemporary like Joshua or of a later priest who is seeking to tie up loose ends and honor Moses, these words give a touch of closure while maintaining a sense of mystery about the death of the prophet. Verses 1 through 3 places Moses atop a mountain. Actually, there's two different mountains and two different places in the word for Moses' death, but in Moab, overlooking the promised land. You see, it is appropriate that Moses would have his last earthly encounter with God on top of a mountain, just as many of his previous encounters had been. You see, verse 4 reemphasizes that even in the end, Moses was able to look at the promised land, but was because of a past transgression of striking that rock. Commentary today says, anyone who stands atop Mount Nebo and looks across the great Rift Valley towards the land of Israel knows full well that Moses saw much more than the normal human eye could ever see. You see, for God enabled him to see the whole promised land. Today, if you and I were to stand up there, we see the northern end of the Dead Sea, the green of the palm trees in the oasis of Jericho down below in the valley, and dimly on top of a distant ridge on a horizon there in front of us, beyond the valley, is a tiny speck of the Tower of the Ascension on top of the Mount of Olives. You see, that very building calls attention to the fact that the prophet like Moses, who is described as better and greater than Moses, also looked out on the whole promised land as he ascended into heaven. You see, the city of Jerusalem is on the other side of that mountain, and there is no way from that spot for us to see in on the other side of that mountain. There is no way from that spot for us to see with Moses all the land of Judah as far as the western sea. You see, God gave him a special gift to be able to see all of that. Because when you stand there today, those things you can't see because there's another mountain in the way. You see, at the burning bush on Mount Sinai, God revealed his presence to Moses and called him to lead a people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt and take them home to the promised land. Now Moses gazed on that very land which he himself was not permitted to enter. He stands and he looks. And Moses, the servant of Yahweh, died there in the land of Moab, according to the mouth of Yahweh, according to the mouth of God. You see, he died from a kiss from the mouth of God. You think about that God allowed him to see all the beauty that was there. God allowed him to see that. You see, Moses died in Moab. He's buried there at a site that is unknown to everyone, but is known only to God. But verses 7 through 12 of our reading today eulogizes the great prophet. The Israelites mourned their great loss and they accepted the leadership of Joshua because of his anointing by Moses, because Moses introduced him. Moses brought him forth and said, "This is the next one." Moses laid his hand on him and ordained him almost. He just put his hands upon him and said, "This is the next one." So this is why the people accepted Joshua so. "There has never again," it says, "been a man of God like Moses who risked so much to serve God and God's people." Concisely written and perhaps added some years later, this is the story of Moses' death that we read in verses 7 through 12. It's not as exciting as the story of his birth. You see, there is no floating basket going in the bulrushes in the river. There's no big sister Miriam to save the day. There's no Egyptian princess to adopt him. And there's no river of life flowing. Yet there is something extremely powerful about this story of Moses' end. It is the story of a great man of God spending his last hours on earth with his Lord. And I thought about that this past week. Last Saturday, I visited with Miss Betty. And you were on her heart and her mind. Her God was on her heart and her mind. She spoke about him. She was doing her Bible study of a morning with her daughter or daughter-in-law, whoever would be there with her. They would read their daily devotion for the day and they would pray. They would talk, and on Tuesday when I saw her, she was still speaking of God. She knew where she was at and she would always say, "I'm ready." Yesterday when I saw her, she's no longer talking. She's very calm. She's very quiet. And I think about a great lady of God spending her last hours on earth with her Lord. What a better way to be. What a better way to be. You see, throughout the Pentateuch, the Torah, those first five books of the Bible, I am reminded of the fullness of Moses and the incredibly special relationship that he had with God. God revealed God's self to Moses in ways that God has never since been revealed and never will be. At times, Moses responded to God's revelation with incredible extra human faith, while at other times, Moses reacted quite humanly. He reminded us of ourselves because he said, "Oh God, not me. I can't speak. I mumble. I stumble. I can't talk." Every obstacle that he put in place, God found an answer. But then there were times when Moses was in such awe that he just followed his Lord. Ignoring God's direction, sometimes Moses is like us. We ignore God's direction, but yet sometimes we find our way back. However, from beginning to end, Moses was in relationship with God, and God was in relationship with Moses. Even in the very end, Moses stood separated from his flock by the very promised land to which he had led them. God was with him. God did not abandon the old man who was on the mountain, breathing his last breath. Instead, God stood by Moses and buried him separately and secretly so that his grave would not be disturbed. So his place of rest would be in peace, his earthly rest, because his heavenly rest would be with God. So Moses and God had that special relationship that no one has had since that day. You see, Moses was the only one to see God face to face. He was the only one that hid his face because the light was so bright. God told him to take his shoes off because the place he was standing was holy ground. There's so many things that God revealed and done with Moses that has never been done since that time. God got to see Moses truly, but guess what? Moses got to see the face of God. And his beauty he could not behold. He couldn't quite grasp it. He couldn't quite understand it. Even in the midst of all that goodness, Moses was still a human being. And he was still a flawed man. He still had his doubts. He still had his fears. He still did silly things. He made mistakes along the way. We all make mistakes along our way. But we come to that time when we say, gosh, forgive me. I've done wrong. God, forgive me for what has happened. And we have to let go and we have to move on from the very beginning to the very end. You see, God was there. You so though this end of the Moses' story is not as colorful, perhaps, as his rescue on that river that day, it is just as rich in his testimony of the loving faithfulness of God toward humanity. God continues to be faithful to us, his children. You see, this story reminds us of the incredible love of our Creator, which not only accompanies us to the exciting parts of our journey, oh, but calmly holds us in the quiet hours of our life. You see, God is there, being our advocate all the way through when life is exciting. And also, He's there in the end, calmly holding us in the end, beginning to the very end. Is God. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for the story of Moses that we find in your word that can only come by truly knowing you. Thank you, Lord, for calling him out. Thank you, Lord, for allowing him to be an amazing part of this world that we live in. The stories that have been passed down, the stories that were told from generations old, the stories that are in your word, the stories that bring great truth, great history, great testimony to those of your children. We thank you, Lord, for calling him and continuing to call him. We thank you, Lord, for calling us each and every day and continuing to call us each morning, continuing to call us out in those things around us, continuing to be all each and every day, all that you want us to be, all that we can be. Sometimes we look and we say, gosh, I can't do much more. I've got to do something every day. There's something going on. I'm going to be so busy. But yet each and every day, somewhere in the midst of it, God continues to call us to be about His business, teaching others, telling others, being the example He has called us to be. So as we go this day, allow us to be that thought, that blessed thought that comes our way, and allow our Lord to lead us in all that we do. For it's in your name, Lord, we do pray this day. Amen.